I quite like that line, the sky, not the grave, is our goal. We are not people made for death and dying, but we're people who are made to have a much brighter future in Christ. I'm going to ask Austin now if he'd come and read to us from chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, beginning to read at verse 7 to 11. Chapter 4, 7 to 11.
So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body.
I like this particular passage because, again, as we prepare for Easter and Advent, Christmas, as we prepare for these times, is it not true that we all find ourselves reflecting on the past? We think of people who have journeyed with us, who we've loved and we've lost. And so often people say to me, this is one of the hardest times for me to journey. So if I'm waiting with expectancy, and you're telling me I have to wait with expectancy, I also find myself going through a time of grief and sadness and reflection. And the Bible tells us this is common to Christianity. But I love this. It says we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Hard-pressed, but not crushed. What is it that this Christmas is going to put you in a difficult place? You may be hard-pressed, but you'll not be crushed. Because his promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His promise is, I will be your rock, I will be your right hand, I will defend you. Perplexed, but not in despair. What is it that's worrying you as you start saying, how will I ever see the way through this? How is this going to pan out? Am I going to be able to do what I have to do? And it might just be a simple thing that somebody's got. Gosh, I've got people coming for Christmas dinner and I don't know how I'm going to get through it all. And it's simple things like that can perplex people. Or how am I going to pay for Christmas? Perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because I'm waiting for God to deliver me. I'm waiting for God to be with me. Persecuted but not abandoned. Those early Christians found themselves struggling, knowing that what it means to be truly persecuted. And sometimes we find a level of persecution that sometimes is so subtle that sometimes we feel afraid to speak about what we believe. Sometimes we feel afraid to speak for our faith, be it in our work or be it in the school or wherever it is we are. There's just that subtlety that says that we feel sometimes unable to speak, and we might feel even that people might persecute us or might hold something against us if we speak for our faith. But here is this picture. We may be persecuted, but we're not abandoned. And maybe there's someone listening in on the internet tonight and you feel struck down. You feel you're at your lowest. There's no way out for you. And this passage says, you may be struck down, but you're not destroyed. God is at work to give people another chance. And you say, but how many more chances can we get? Jesus talked about forgiveness at 70 times 7. And once we grasp what true forgiveness is, then that forgiveness takes us to the place of repentance and drives us to the place where we don't want to do the same again. And we're not destroyed. But for the grace of God, we would be destroyed, wouldn't we? But we're not destroyed because we trust his presence and we've got this waiting for God to deliver us. So that's the thought for you just now. And I'm not going to ask you to into groups to talk about your suffering, because that might just be too much for you all. But I want you to just take a moment to now, in our prayerful way, for us to reflect on people who are going through times of suffering this Christmas time, wherever it be in the world, families that are going to be split up, families that find it so difficult because of the issues of past lives, and it all comes together in a great kaleidoscope hitting people at Christmas time. And let us pray for that, that we might know God's peace, and we might take these passages of Scripture tonight to strengthen us as we prepare for Christmas. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we come and bow in your presence this evening. We dare not speak of the things that trouble us. We come to talk of our suffering to you, for you are the one who understands. So often we have felt like running away, giving up. But within our hearts today, we know we can't, because you have made promises to us, and we want to believe these promises. We want to believe that you have come to stand with us, and that Christmas is all about the God who comes among us as a baby, but as a human being, to engage with our suffering. Lord, we ask for your help this evening. We pray for people we know who are struggling with illness, people who need to know your presence close to them. We pray for people who need to feel your forgiveness. And we pray for people who need to feel that they can have a new beginning. Lord, in your mercy, hear us as we pray for such people tonight. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to sing another hymn now, 473. My hope is built on nothing less. Let's stand. One of the things in the Bible we are told is another word that we come to have tonight is confidence. Because we can trust him, because God has gone before us, he has come among us in Jesus. And the confidence that we can have because he has given us the presence of his Holy Spirit to journey with us. We are not alone, we are not left alone, but he has left his Holy Spirit with us. And I'm just looking to the passage in John chapter 14, I think it is, where Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled." Then he goes on to say, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you." That's long-term relationships. God is longing to have a long-term relationship with you, not only in this life, but into eternity. Do you understand that? And it goes on to talk about, in this passage too, Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Begin to grow in that confidence that God is with you, that God cares for you, and that the whole of the Christmas story is about God being with us. Emmanuel, God with us. We are not alone. And that's what we're celebrating. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas time. That's what we're telling our friends and our families about. Glad tidings of comfort and joy. Who do you know this year who needs to hear that wonderful message? These are great words, just glad tidings, old-fashioned words. But they say something, glad tidings of comfort and joy. God is among us. We are not alone. Recently, I've been reading the chief rabbi's latest book, and he's been talking about the new atheism that's around that ends up into nihilism, that leads us to the place where there's no purpose in life. You make your own meaning to life. Whereas within the gospel message, there is this hope. Life has meaning. Your life has a purpose. Your life has a meaning. And that in itself should be a comfort and joy to you. You can be a joy to yourself. Do you know that? Some of us need to realise that God wants us to enjoy being who we are. That's all right to enjoy being yourself. And that's what Jesus said, my joy I want you to have. That's another thing he talks about. I'll give you my joy. And Christmas is about us entering into that together. So what I want us now to do is, together as a group, to just think about... You've seen the paper that I produced. Have you got it there in front of you? You've got some of it? The Advent Angels? Yes? The Advent Angels... I'm sorry, internet people, if you haven't got one, but we'll just have a wee discussion on these things, and you can start talking amongst yourselves as well. And if you've got any suggestions to make, please feel free to contribute, and then we'll hear. Heather will relay them back to us. So the leaflet starts off, for the people on the internet, so as you know what's on this leaflet, we're saying, this little leaflet has been produced to encourage you to begin to prepare for Christmas 2011. Why not make this Christmas a special one for all your neighbours and your friends and your family? So, the first thing about Christmas is that it is a counterculture. We're going to go against the culture. And the real meaning behind Christmas has too often been lost. Perhaps we just need to stop thinking before we find ourselves drawn into the commercialization. I don't know what's happened here. Has the lights gone out? Oh, well, there you go. Anyway, we're in the dark, but we're still in the light. Okay. So perhaps we could think about this. Why not sign up to be an Advent Angel and get your daily challenge text? So what we're going to think about is, coming next week, you'll be able to get an email sent to you every day, with your challenge to be an Advent Angel. And that challenge might be different things. It might be to do something, go and do something for your neighbour, or it might be we can discuss what these challenges might be here even tonight, to hear the kind of things we might want to do. But here's the first question. Let's have a wee discussion. What could we do as a community that would make Christmas a bit different for our neighbours and our friends and for the people around about us? What kind of symbols or signs, or what could we do that will make Christmas look different this year? Any suggestions? I've got the microphone here. Could someone just turn this one up? It's the handheld one. It's all labelled, so you should be getting it. Pardon? It's not the head mic I'm looking for. It's this one here. Right, they might need to be switched on. That's the only thing. Yeah, that's okay. They might need to be switched on the radio receiver. But until that, people will hear. Any suggestions what we could do? Spend within budget. That's counterculture, isn't it?
Spend within budget.
Don't go into debt this Christmas. Would that not be a good thing to do? Just make that decision. And it means then that you've got to be honest with people and say, I've given you what I can afford, not what I can't afford. And, you know, that might be a very good suggestion. Any other ideas?
Your family first instead of your friends.
Well, think about your family first instead of your friends. Yes, yeah.
Wasted, and which seems bizarre, and
So don't waste food. Maybe we buy too much food. You often see that, you know, when people hear the supermarkets are going to be closed over a period, you see people going down getting trolley fulls of food. And maybe there's some food that you know nobody eats. Well, why do you keep on having that Christmas cake that nobody eats and it goes in the bin? I mean, there's fruitcakes that people just don't eat today, and yet we keep on buying them. And so it's that kind of thing, isn't it? Just
not having treats. Not,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, anything else?
Don't panic buy.
Don't panic buy, Graham, yes. Any other suggestions to make Christmas different? And how would you do that, Graham? How do we spread the story of Christmas round the parish?
We
tell it, and one way we can do is being volunteering when the Christmas network comes out. We always need people to deliver it around the parish, and we end up sometimes having a pile of networks, you know, not delivered, so if we had people willing to go and deliver it, that could make a difference for somebody's Christmas, because they get the message and hear the message of Christmas because they've received the network. Okay? So that's one area. The next area I want to think about, yes? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Okay, I'll give you the mic and you can speak them out, okay? Heather, do you want to do that?
Hazel said, just buy a wee prezzy for each other. And Jackie says, turn the TV off.
Watson said, sleep throughout the day.
There's more.
Don't be sucked into the idea of buying expensive food. It tastes better, i.e. Marks and Spencer sell Christmas in a very clever way.
What? Is this one not on at all? All right. Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. I'll show you. I can show you what's wrong. See. That worked now. And. No. You've got to go and look for the one that's. Okay. All right, hand mic. That's it. Good. That should work now. There we go. Right, there we go. So we've got some comments from people on the internet about things we should be doing. Pardon?
Just teach the children that Christmas is about giving and not receiving, because I think the children just aren't being taught that nowadays. They think Christmas is just about getting lots of things. So encourage the children to give.
One of the ways that we can we think about giving in this church, we're encouraging people. You know, we buy these presents. They're small amounts for people, just to reminding. It's a fiver here or a £10 here, and at the end of the day, often it's a present that really, I call them the recycled presents that people say, you know, and pass it down to someone else. Why not use that money and buy some of the charity gifts cards, so that you're giving £5 or £10. It could be a Vine Trust card, or it could be another charity, you know, that are doing that. That you're saying to someone, I've given that, and that's a blessing to you. And the thing is this, it also saves a huge amount of time in buying things, going around looking for things that nobody really wants, but your gift in saying, giving them that, can make a difference, and perhaps even encourage them next year to do the same with you. So that's the kind of thing we're seeing, Graham, putting some money towards India or to Peru or some of these areas like that. Yep. What about, here's the next thing. How about preparing ourselves personally for Christmas? Have you ever thought about making a special effort to draw closer to God during Advent and start doing the Advent readings. So one way would be to go onto Sanctuary First webpage and begin to follow the Bible readings for Advent and also the Advent prayers, and begin to see how God is dealing with you and speaking with you, and maybe keep an Advent diary. So this Advent, you just say, I'm going to make it special and see how I'm directed and led to do something different for my family, something special around the house. It may be what you're baking, what you're cooking. It may be the decorations will be different this year. The table will be different. Do you know what I'm saying? All these things, but letting that presence of God direct you in order that your home looks different and it's a different feel because you're allowing God's word to speak into your life. That takes us on to decorations. One of the things we sometimes encourage people in the past to do is get a candle and light a candle for an hour every day, put it in your window or even at your dinner table when you meet round. And if you don't normally meet round the table, sometimes it's easy to have telemeals, but to say, this Advent, we're going to meet round the table. And if you're on your own, why not invite somebody at least maybe once a week to join you and light the candle and say, I'm doing this for Advent. I'm wanting to prepare myself with expectation for the coming of the King. There are different things we can do just to make Advent, preparing ourselves for Christmas, to be different. One of the things I also thought was, if we could get families in the church to do this, is to start getting people to email graces to one another. And we could put the graces up on the church webpage. And so we could get children to write a grace. And it's a way of getting the family to pray together around the meal table. Sometimes it's quite awkward knowing when your children get a bit older to know how you can get everybody as a family to pray together. But if you're saying it's your turn to do the grace this week or this today, or to say we've pulled the grace off the email, off the internet this week, and it's Anne's grace we're going to do, or and we share one another the graces that we can write at Advent. I think that'd be really quite a constructive way and a very interesting way for us to be together and to pray together as our families. I think so much in the church we make a big deal about people going to prayer groups. But what about praying in your family? What about just getting your family together and praying with them? And do you know, if you can't pray with your family, maybe there's something that we all need to work at so as we can make that happen. So, and that around the meal table is one way we can do that, isn't it? Any suggestions?
Prayers or something could be part of an Advent calendar type thing where, peel it off and reveal it every day. So you're reading it. At
A
certain time.
Yep. I don't know how we would go about doing that one, but you can maybe make up your own Advent calendar, I suppose. If you had children in the home, you could make up with a little prayer and put it all together, get the children to make the prayers and then put them in and all be involved in that. That'd be quite a good idea, wouldn't it? Ah, we could do that on a Sunday morning, couldn't we? So we could maybe start thinking about that. So we could do a kind of Advent prayer on a Sunday. That's a great idea, Natasha. So we can start that next Sunday, because next Sunday we'll be lighting the first candle for Advent, and we could maybe do that. Yeah, that's a... we can work on that. Tell Lilius we're working on that this week. You and Lilius can work on that this week, eh? You're in tomorrow, that's right. So we can talk a wee bit about that and see what we can put together. What you can say?
Last Monday, because the young people that come in on a Monday were making up a prayer book, so could maybe use some of them.
That's an idea. That's great. That's the kind of thing we want to be doing. So there we go. So what about your own Christmas tree? Rather than just having the one in the church, but having your own Christmas tree. What do you think of that? Any suggestions or problems with that? Is that too difficult? Oh, that's hang everybody's name on the church and the Christmas tree. There's another nice thought, isn't it? What we've done with our Christmon tree is, those of you who are not aware of a Christmon tree, you can Google it. It's called Christmon, M-O-N, Christmon tree. Google it and you'll find out how you make a Christmon tree. But it's got to be a real, evergreen tree, a real one, not a an artificial one. And what you hang on it, I'll let Martha tell you, because I'm talking enough here.
Everything about the Christmas tree is symbolic. It has to be an evergreen tree which symbolises everlasting life, and we put white lights on it to symbolise Jesus being the light of the world, and we use gold and white symbols, the gold talking about the majesty of God and the white talking about the purity, and each of the symbols should be made by hand to talk about creativity.
So that's and it's great when people see, and over the years we get so many of these handmade decorations that go on our Christmas tree here in the church, and it just looks quite spectacular, doesn't it? And I think the congregation were quite proud of that. It makes it so special. Now it might be an idea to maybe even have a little small Christmas tree like that for yourself somewhere. It doesn't need to be a big one. You might have another one that you want to have, because our problem is that we've got ones from a family, kids have, you know, we bring out the same decorations, and Sarah Jane or Stephen, if they turn up, they like coming even in their late 20s to decorate the tree. And so these little things are all important, aren't they? We have all our own wee family rituals, but we could have maybe a little tree that would just be special, that would be our Christmas tree, that we could put at the window, or I mean, do something with it just to make these symbols happen. So there you go. The other thing that we're really excited about is the 24-hour prayer link that we're going to have, the 24-hour prayer time in the church from the 23rd to the 24th, leading up to Christmas, into Christmas Day. So that we're going to connect with people all around the world, all our partners around the world. We're going to Skype them. So we'll have prayers from India, from Africa, from Sheena in Africa, people in Peru. And if you know of other people that you want to get them all Skyping, and already we've got a church up in James Stewart's church up in Perth, they're wanting to join in with us in this as well. So that whole 24 hours that we've done before, I think we've had two of these 24-hour sessions this year already, this would be a great way just to tie it up. So I think that'll be lots of fun, and we'll get people doing things and praying and preparing prayers and getting involved as we lead up all through Christmas Eve that evening, and then we'll stop about 10 o'clock so as we can get ready for the Christmas Eve watch night service. So can you, is that something you think you could get involved in or help with or support? Okay. Right. So one other final thing before we go to the last part of our service tonight is I just wanted to get some feedback from you. I was thinking next Sunday evening that we would have an Advent supper here in church and just make it really cool and just get involved, and it's all coming down, and we could we maybe get candles and make it look Christmassy and get that kind of feel. This is what we might do, and have suggestions that some people say, this is one I made earlier or something like that, and what the kind of things we could maybe have that we could share together at 6:30 next Sunday evening. What do you think? And we could even let the folks from Grangemouth come, couldn't they? We would even invite you. You don't need to not come back. You see, you could come and be part of it as well. What do you think? The folks from Kerry were talking about coming as well. We had some visitors from a church in Kerry this morning. So, will we go for that and see how we get on? And maybe I need to just get some folks to organise the food and that kind of stuff. How do we go about doing that? Do we email one another and
get people to bring a dish?
What do you think? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so have we got time to do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but we'll think about it. But we could maybe do it here in church, and so as our internet friends, you could. Why don't you could maybe have some of your pals round on the internet? Bring your pals round and have a wee night with one or two people, and connect into the whole celebration, and see what we can make that Advent supper a time of expectation, of thinking, looking forward, and we'll see what else we can do to make it interesting next Sunday evening. Okay? Right. The one passage that I want to finish up with is this amazing verse that's found in Job chapter 19, verse 25. Job 19, verse 25. I'll just read some of the words that go before it from verse 23. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. What a prophetic word. Hey, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That our lives have got a purpose. And we've been redeemed from all the things that are wrong, for all the wrong roads we've gone down, the things that have just messed up everything about us. That we have a Redeemer who will redeem our past. And he lives. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he will stand upon the earth on the latter day. And of course, what comes into your mind but that amazing piece from Messiah, doesn't it? And it just lifts your heart. And when you're feeling the darkness surrounding you and overwhelmed, that word says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And the word redeem means, it's a word that says, it puts things right, makes things right again when they've gone wrong. And of course, Jesus is our great Redeemer, the one who has purchased us and redeemed our life and made it worthwhile again. Because we are worth redeeming, God thinks we are worth redemption. And that is the glad tidings of great joy, isn't it? So let's go away this time preparing to make Advent something quite special.